Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, the weather's beautiful. Has not been beautiful. And we've had some rough weather this week. You know, we've had tornadoes. We've had hail. We've had everything.
Yeah. It's almost like all the seasons all at once. And if it kept going, I was afraid you might have to, build a very large boat and put all the animals in it.
That's what I was worried about. I was worried about that ark again. Because, we have had so much rain. I don't even know how many inches it is, but it's a lot.
Yeah. And the rain and the storms and just the relentlessness of it. It's not like a little shower came in for a little while and then went on. It was just,
it was day after day after day. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And the hail was bad.
Golly. It's just, I don't know. I know that, springtime is that transitional time where, things kind of change a little bit and the weather patterns come in and there's, sometimes, some spring storms and things like that. But boy, that was just a little excessive. And that's just 1 week. That's not even like the whole spring. It's just been kind of a weird thing. I don't know. It's more intense than it usually is.
It's just an amazing thing that you can have all the storms, you can have all the rain, as we've had flooding. I hadn't even mentioned that. There's been a lot of flooding.
Golly.
And, it's dangerous when you have all that flooding.
It's too bad you can't, find a way to put all that water in a bucket or somehow some kind of a reservoir or something so that in a couple months when we're talking about how dry it is, you can't go tap the reserves and pull that water out.
That's right. Say, okay, we've got all this water here. It evaporates into the ground.
Yeah. And boy, that takes several days to dry out. My goodness.
Or it runs into our rivers and streams. A lot of it does.
Yeah.
The runoff. The Oklahoma, Texas Red River over here that is so famous. Last time I was there, it was dry. Someone sent me a picture of raging water on the Red River this week.
Really? Oh,
yeah,
that
so it
hasn't
is not
happened.
Dry.
Wow.
There's a lot of water coming down the Red River right now.
My goodness, for that to be flooded like that, that's just...
Yeah, because last time I was there, it was dry as a bone, and it is not dry now.
Wow.
It's raging water coming through it.
Yeah. I mean, to go from bone dry to a raging river going through there, that's a lot of water real fast.
It is a lot of water. I saw the pictures. They sent me pictures.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Yeah.
There's just something you hadn't seen in a while, so it's another freak of nature.
I've seen that in a long time.
Yeah. But boy, it's like we're into May already, and, school's just about out, and then we've got summer vacation, and happy Mother's Day weekend, too.
Camps for kids. Don't forget that. Oh. We got to send all the kids to camp.
Yes. Oh, my word. Have you started checking on prices for that yet?
Yes, I'm working on that. It's a terror, let me tell you.
I remember last year, and the cost of these things was, and they're so luxurious now, and they're fancy and expensive.
And we sent ours to New Mexico, and the price wasn't even a third of what it costs here.
Golly.
I mean, it wasn't thousands of dollars like all this other.
My word, yeah, wasn't it like 4,000 or something for a week?
Oh yeah, it's $4,000 and $5,000. To send your kid to camp now.
Jeez.
That's just ridiculous. It lets out a lot of kids that should be going to camp, that always have gone to camp.
Yeah.
But now it's priced them out.
It has. And the strange thing is somehow they're full, and they're getting those rates, or they did last year. I don't know, maybe not this year, but, this year might be a little bit different. But golly, I couldn't believe.
Oh, that some of them have waiting lists.
Yes.
People have got so much money they need to spend it on camp.
I cannot believe it. It's like, my word, you got to be kidding me. I remember it was a couple $100 and that was, maybe about it. But now we're talking thousands. I mean, it's gone up by 1,000% or 4,000% in some cases.
It has. When my kids went to camp, it seems like it was $200 or $300 a week.
Yeah.
Wasn't very much. And everybody's kid back then went to camp. It was not overpriced, and anybody could afford it, you know, to send their kids to camp.
Yeah.
But now it's become big business.
It has. Gosh, I had no idea either. I just thought,
I didn't need it, so I started calling, and they were telling me $4,000 and $5,000.
Wow. You expect prices to go up a little bit, you know, from year to year, but geez, that was
But not into the thousands and thousands.
No.
And it's the same camp.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't changed anything.
It's not
the
like...
The cabins are the same. The archery, horseback riding, you know, all these other things. I can't see why the price would have went up thousands just for the same things we've always done.
Yeah, it's not like they've added, you know, some kind of luxurious movie theater and you know, spa resort or anything
or
like
that. Or a spaceship or something, you know.
A spaceship.
Yeah, spaceship.
Now, I'd pay $4,000 for that. That would be cool.
Well, these little spaceships weren't going very far.
Wow. It's just nuts what it's become out there. If anybody that's got like small children or grandchildren going to camp, I just can't believe, how insanely expensive it's gotten. It's just.
Let me tell you something. Everybody's going to be going to church camp.
Yeah, and probably should anyway.
That's right. It's better for them anyway. But I know a lot of kids are going to church camp.
Mm, yeah. Maybe people went, here's what might have happened. Maybe last year they didn't realize it, so they just paid the thing and sent the kids off to $4,000, $5,000 camp, and then they realized, oh, you didn't get anything special for it. We're going to scale back, and we're going to all go to church camp this year. It might be a record-breaking year.
I know a lot of kids are going to church camp.
Yeah.
Including mine. Yeah. You know? And those church camp is like $750.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's $750 for a week.
Wow.
That beats $4,000 or $5,000.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, it's still a bit pricey, but, you know, not anywhere near what... God. Lee, I cannot believe it. Whew. Yeah, I don't blame people. Probably church camp is where most people need to go anyway. And so maybe
that's right. They need to go there anyway.
Wow.
It might help them a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, and happy Mother's Day weekend, too, by the way.
That's right. It is Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah. So it's another big thing. So... It is a
big deal.
It's like the year is flying by. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, I can't believe where this year is going so fast. It's just like you blink your eye, and all of a sudden it's almost halfway over already.
That's right. I mean, we are in May.
Yeah.
Do you realize that? This is May.
I know.
And where did we go from January to May? It's
yeah.
been a fast movie.
Next month, the year is half over. So time is flying, that's for sure. This is
that's
Your
right.
Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Well, what kind of good news do you have today? Any big things?
Well, let me give you the police blotter. I always love giving you that.
This is going to be good. Oh, wow. Here we go.
Okay. A report was made about aggressive cows. They had meandered into the caller's property. The caller said their son was scared by the cows, and the neighbor was told to keep them in the pen or avoid an utter chaotic situation.
I see how they did that.
Did you like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Officers were dispatched to a report of a stolen vehicle at Kroger. The lady said somebody stole her car, and it wasn't there, and she wanted to make a report and get some help. It was determined it was just hiding in plain sight. Right where she left it.
Right.
How embarrassing.
I feel like I've done that before when we used to have malls.
Yeah. Yeah. And then officers were dispatched to a neighborhood in reference to a suspicious vehicle outside of a new built home. The officer questioned the occupants of the vehicle, and they were just looking to purchase a house.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know, it gets good here.
Oh, boy.
Then the next one was, officers responded to a neighborhood in reference to a loose cow after a brief moving violation. The cow was wrangled and placed back in the pen after a moving violation.
You did it again. Cute? That is cute.
I know. Okay, one more. These people observed someone with a flashlight outside a residence. The officer contacted the homeowner, who advised he's looking for possums. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine out in the dark looking for possums? You know, if you don't have anything better to do than that, I mean, we're in trouble. Yeah. Just serious trouble.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, looking for possums in the dark. I would have had him committed.
Yeah.
That's his wife ought to take him to the hospital.
Yeah, have him checked. Wow.
I'd have him checked very thoroughly if you're out in the dark looking for a possum.
Yeah. She needs to go have him checked and then get his second opinion.
That's right. And, you know, we have possums here. We have rabbits here. I mean, you know, and we're not out in the dark looking for them. I mean, you know, they can take care of themselves.
Yeah. Wow.
You know?
In the dark, no less. That's right.
And then a neighbor took a picture of a fox out by their swimming pool.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, the fox had come up and was standing there right by the pool.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you never know what's going to pass by.
Wow. I tell you, you have some of the craziest things that happen in your neighborhood. It's just, I would say fairly safe to say we live very different lives.
That's right. And the lady with the chicken, I want to say this. You do not give a bubble bath to a chicken. I mean, you need to get it alive somehow. I mean, can you imagine? I would have called for the people to come with a net.
Yeah.
And put it over her.
Yeah, over her, not the chicken.
Not the chicken, her. I mean, I've never in my life heard of one giving a bubble bath to a chicken. I mean, I think you've lost it completely.
Yeah, either she's bored, crazy, or she's just not from there. I don't know which.
Maybe she's from New Jersey.
Oh.
Anything's possible.
That is true. Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Well, I'm glad you brought up New Jersey and not me.
That's right. If we ever get caught, you know, we'll run for the border.
Yeah. Run like crazy. Oh,
that's
my
right.
Word. Oh, wow. Yeah, you have very different stories than the rest of us, I think.
That's right. I live in a different place.
You do. Oh, my word. All right. Should we talk about money before you get calls?
Let's talk about money. You know, we have been working and working on getting policies. We've gotten two policies now. We're ready to go. We will be putting these out to customers next week. One of them is a 21-month life expectancy, and the other one is 9 months.
Oh, my word.
So these are both very, very short, so they'll go fast, I hope. A lot of people will want to get in them. One is a $750,000 policy, and the other is $1 million.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So we can put a lot of people in these two policies. The profit is great. It'll be short. It'll be over before we hardly get it done.
Yeah.
And hopefully they won't do like that lady the other day that passed away right after we were buying the policy.
Oh.
So, and you know, and they showed she had 20 months left.
Jeez.
I still don't understand. She just took a turn for the worse and it was over.
Yeah.
So we had to make a refund of everybody's money. We had just collected the money. And it was going into escrow.
Wow.
And we were notified of her death. So that did not work out too well.
Wow.
But these are good policies. I'll put as many people in them as I can. I'll try to, you know, it'll be the first people first. And, the ones that have waited the longest, we'll get them in first.
And it's been, next week, you think they'll be ready?
Yes, we'll be ready next week. We'll start on it next week. On Monday, we'll probably be sending out notices. to people to get in this policy.
Yeah.
And then the other one.
Well, I know
we'll
you've
do
been,
them as quickly as we can.
Yeah, and I'm sure those will fill up pretty quick. So people should be like looking out for their email and
that's right.
things like that.
Because remember, these people, lots of times they don't read their email. I don't know why. Lots of times we have to text them to tell them to look in their email. So lots of times we'll email and then we'll send them a text, say, please read your email. There's an offer on a policy for you.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's important to read email, but I mean, they're probably busy living life and not stuck in their phone and looking at email. I can't go more than 5 minutes without checking one of my emails. I don't know what it is.
That's right. We have to check it all the time when you're in business to see if a customer needs something. If you've got a policy to look at, that's what I'm usually looking at.
Yeah.
'Cause that's what I do all day long is look for policies. Read the information, see if it's something we want to bid. Then we get right on it. We read the medical, everything ready to go. And then we try to get it. And this one took us a month to get.
Really?
It took a month. We bid this in April.
Jeez.
And all this time we didn't know what had happened. I thought that they'd given it to somebody else. But no, they were having trouble with the owner of the policy. And sometimes they're just difficult to work with. You know, sometimes they don't know what they want to do. Do I really want to sell both policies? He had two, and he only sold us one. I mean, what's the difference? I mean, you know, when you leave, you're going to be leaving at one time.
Yeah.
So it's not going to make any difference. But these people are just, they've become rather difficult.
Yeah.
You just never know. I mean, they can keep a bid going. Like, this took a month to get it.
That's
used to, we'd know the bidding would stop in 2 weeks flat.
Yeah.
And they'd give you updates, you know, what the bid was, what the high bid was. Do you want to bid more? Do you want to back out? Do you want to walk away?
Yeah, and during that
some
month.
Some of them have gone so high that we couldn't even get them. It would come to a certain point, we'd say, okay, we're through.
I don't know how some people end up buying those. It just doesn't seem like there'd be anything there to work with by the time it's all.
I think it has to be a mutual fund that doesn't know the difference.
Oh, that could be, yeah.
Because mutual fund companies will spend so much, whether it's really a good policy or not, and even if the numbers don't work, they just buy them anyway.
Yeah. Jeez.
I don't understand that theory.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't, you know, just the basic math doesn't make any sense to me, but. What do I know? Maybe.
Well, when you have billions of dollars to spend,
yeah,
you know, it makes a difference. And now I'm being told that banks are going to start doing life settlements.
Really?
They know nothing about life settlements. They don't know the first thing about it, how to buy one, what's a good policy, what's a bad policy. And the banks see all these jillions of dollars passing hands on these life policies, and they want to get some of the money.
Wow.
So and the banks now say they're going to do life settlements.
They don't even
know. It'll be a disaster.
Wow. I'm just shocked. I mean, that's something I never thought I'd hear. I'm totally shocked.
I never thought I would either. But they love the idea. They love the thought of buying policies. So they want to take the consumer out, and they get the money.
Oh, my gosh.
In other words, they're going to buy it for themselves, for the bank.
Yeah.
And the bank will make that money instead of the consumer. Like what we do, you know, the consumer, they all make the money.
Wow.
And the banks are going to try to eliminate that.
So it's not like they're even buying up policies and going to have people invest. They're just buying it to profit the bank.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
It'll be their deal. It'll be their investment. It won't be the customer of the bank. It'll be the bank makes the investment, the bank makes the money, and does away with the people.
Boy, in a million years, I never would have thought I'd see that. How would
I never thought I would either. And I don't know who they're going to get to run their deal, but can you imagine a novice coming in? They're going to buy insurance policies that they don't know anything about.
Wow. I can't even imagine. I mean, we see, people that will, buy policies and they'll go up so much there's absolutely no profit left in them. And they've been in the game for a while. And they supposedly, quote, know what they're doing. Banks are complete outsiders. How are they even going to get to that point? let alone.
Do you remember years ago when they bought up all these mortgages?
Oh, yeah.
They bought up those packages of mortgages and how all that went.
That did not go well.
Then they found out they weren't worth anything and they had to write them off.
Yeah.
Remember that big fiasco?
I'd forgotten about it, but now I do. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, they did that. They wanted to get in the mortgage game and not just one mortgage at a time where they knew the people, knew the background, the credit rating. No. They bought packages.
Yeah.
And some idiot packaged all these mortgages and knew that a lot of them were fake, a lot of them weren't worth a hoot, a lot of them were in foreclosure, but they sold them to the banks.
Yeah.
The banks had all that. They thought they had a gold mine on the ground.
Wow.
And then they found out they weren't any good, and they had to write all that off. They wrote off billions of dollars of mortgage loans.
Wow. And they didn't even check each mortgage as they went. They just bought them in
bulk. Oh, no, they didn't check them. It was a package deal.
Wow.
In other words, you didn't buy individual ones. You bought a stack of, you know, maybe 1,000 mortgages or 500 mortgages.
Yeah.
And they didn't bother to check them out. They just believed the people and bought them sight unseen.
That was just incredibly irresponsible on their part, and they financially suffered for it, too.
That's right. Their bottom line went way down. For 4 or 5 years after that bad, bad investment.
Yeah. Some of them weren't even real, were they? I mean, they were fake?
I think a lot of them were fake, yes.
Jeez. Oh, wow. Yeah. It's like buying a box.
Threw those in the middle because they weren't going to check.
Yeah. They knew that nobody was going to go through each of them individually, so put the ones on the top and the bottom to be the most attractive ones, and then put the fluff in the middle where nobody's going to – they'll get tired of reading before
they get there.
Nobody's
even going to look.
Yeah.
And they're going to give you millions of dollars, and you walk away smiling and said, look what we just did.
Yeah, look what we just did.
It took them 2 or 3 years to find out that they weren't being paid.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these mortgages, there was no payments because a lot of them weren't even real.
Yeah.
There wasn't any people to back it up. They just had names on mortgages, I guess, that they made up themselves.
Yeah. I mean, there was.
But the banks suffered a lot, the ones that bought those.
I was shocked when that happened because there was no support system for it. They couldn't possibly. I kind of expect this to maybe potentially go the same way. Do you think it'll be kind of something similar for
banks? I don't
know
if they'll mess up the business or not. You know, I mean, they're amateurs at this.
Yeah.
You know, we've been doing this for years and years, and it took us a long time to get it right. It took us a long time, you know, to get it where it was really good at what we did.
Yeah. I mean, targeting, you know, kind of narrowing things down, knowing exactly, you know, what you're trying to target and all that. That takes years of experience and you know.
And we check every policy.
Yeah.
You know, every policy. You know, the legal department checks to make sure about the beneficiary, about the that they didn't have cancer when they bought the policy. I mean, we check everything. If they've had a divorce, we have to check that. I mean, we check all these things. And can you see a bank taking the time to check all this out?
Jeez. And, no, they don't have the resources.
I mean, you'd have to have a lot of people because they wouldn't buy just 5 policies or 3 policies. You know, they would, again, going to buy in bulk. You know?
Yeah. Bulk is great.
For a bank to do this. Yeah, they're going to have to buy a lot.
Yeah.
So they'll buy, somebody will sell them a stack of them.
Yeah. Groceries.
Oh, okay, all these are good policies. You need to buy them.
Yeah, just take our word for it. Trust me. They're
Yeah,
wonderful.
Trust me. And we know who says that.
Yeah. Golly. I mean, buying in bulk has its place. You know, groceries are great to buy in bulk, you know, paper products for around the house, great for bulk, but policies and things like that, not such a good thing. I wouldn't recommend that. So, wow.
And, you know, on each policy, we know what the client needs to make. We know what we need to make, and we make adjustments along the way, and we're checking to make sure, you know, what the premium is, that the premium isn't too high. We're making sure how sick they are. You have to make sure that this person is going to pass away, that it is incurable. You know, it can't just be, you know, a mold on the nose, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, you know, we check all this, and it's taken us years to get it right, you know. And our policies come in sometimes early, sometimes on time, sometimes they're late. But now most of ours are on time because, you know, we've gotten better at it and we're doing a better job on it. And our providers are doing a better job on bringing us the good policies. And, of course, we don't buy long-term policies. We don't want anything long-term. Most of this is IRA money. And when it's IRA money, you know, you need to have it as short as possible. We try not to go over 38 months. And, you know, we're not going to buy 10-year paper or 7-year paper or anything like that. And there's people that do that now even.
Oh, yeah. We see commercials on TV all the time.
Yeah, and MAGA out of Austin, you know, they got their fingers slapped on that.
Oh, really?
They promised these people all this money, and they couldn't deliver. You can't tell everybody. You guarantee them every year 8% or 10%.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Because you don't know how long it'll take before the first one matures.
Yeah.
And if you buy a 7-year paper, you know, you've got to pay them in the meantime, and you don't have any income coming in. And they never thought about that. You've got to have income every year if you're going to do a mutual fund and pay people up front.
My goodness.
So they needed some short-term ones. And they should have said, we will start paying you in 3 years or 4 years, you know.
Yeah.
And then they'd have been covered. But they didn't do it that way.
I'm shocked that they were that sloppy about it.
And then the president was fired, the vice president. Most of the officers were fired, and they started over.
Started from scratch. After they'd already wasted time and money going down
a
the
lot of
road.
Money. They wasted a lot of money.
Wow.
By doing it wrong. And they had a lot of people employed there. I think they had over 100 people employed in their offices in Austin.
Oh, my.
And most of them lost their job over that fiasco.
Wow. Yeah, that was a disaster. You can't really fix that at that point. You just have to blow up the whole thing, and you don't have any choice.
You had to start over.
Yeah.
With new officers, new people, a new beginning, and then you had to get out of the lawsuits ahead.
Yeah.
All the people that didn't get paid.
Yeah.
So explain this to me, you know?
Wow.
Explain that income we were going to have.
You start guaranteeing stuff that's not guaranteeable, and it's, ooh, that's some hot water to be in.
That's right. So, you know, when we have policies to start with, we check everything about it. We check the medical. We check the premium, everything. Then when we're bidding it, you know, we're bidding it to see how much we can make for that client. You know, it's got to be something that they can make money at, that we can make a little bit of money at, and that it's not too long term. So after we bid it, if we've got it, you know, everything goes into escrow at the bank, not at our house.
Yeah.
But it goes into escrow at Nevada Trust. We've been using them for years, and they're pretty good at their job, and they will talk to us. They'll talk to you. They'll talk to anybody that has anything to do with a life settlement. So we have, you know, physical contact. We can talk to them. It's not like calling up and you get this answering service that says press 1, press 5, press 10. And
yeah.
Then it says, if you really want to talk to us, send us an email. Or text us.
Oh, geez.
They don't want to talk to you. Most of the people I contact anymore, they say, leave a message. I mean, you know, they don't want to talk to us.
Wow.
But we still talk to people. We talk to our clients, good, bad, or indifferent. We talk to them.
Hmm.
You know, they always can call me. And lots of times people hesitate to call me. But I always say, if you've got a problem, if there's something you need to discuss, call me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the bottom line.
Yeah. You are like, you are the top of the chain. And so to be
accessible. I'm the top of the chain. When you get to me, it stops right here.
Yeah.
The buck stops here with me. So if you have questions, and lots of times people do have questions about a policy, they'll say, hey, I don't know whether I want to go into it or not. And I go over it with them and tell them, you know, why I bought it, what it stands for, how many months, and why it's that way. Well, I think it's going to come in at a certain time. So then everything goes to the bank. The bank escrows the money. And then when the policy matures, the check comes to the bank, and the bank pays it out. So we've got every safety feature known to man.
Yeah.
You know, we don't handle the money ourselves. The only thing we handle is if you have a premium, lots of times people put it on a credit card. So that comes to us, and then we forward it. You can go direct to the company, to Nevada Trust, with a premium. A lot of times, if you have a premium, we get you to send a letter to us saying, take it out of my account. So we've streamlined everything that we can.
I mean, my goodness, it's such a well-oiled machine, and it's so, I guess, pre-planned, which is not something that you get in most other investments. It's like everything is all laid out. At step one, this happens. At step two, this happens. Here's how much you get. Here's the percentage. And I mean, it's all mapped out, and there's nobody, I guess, behind the scenes or even in front of the scenes that's, you know, swapping things out. And when you get into this policy, and then, oh, well, I'm the broker, I'm going to move it over here. And you people know exactly what they're in from start to finish. Nothing changes. It's like you get in, and when the policy matures, that's the same policy that you get paid on. And it's always 100% of the policy. They don't discount it for any reason or any condition at all.
No, and it's not like banks or anywhere else. You know, whatever it is, it is. And life insurance companies have got more money than anybody I know. They pay better. They pay better than the banks. I don't know of anybody that pays as good as a life insurance company.
Yeah.
And on these, you know, the average payout is 23%.
Jeez, that's incredible.
And we've had three maturities lately. The one that just came into the bank this week, you know, they made 23%. It was bought in 24, and it has matured. So it was a little bit early, you know. So that's a good thing. And, you know, every time anybody gets paid, it goes into your account. And then you have the option. If you need to take money out, you can. If you have an RMD, you can make your RMD. Or if you're ready to invest, reinvest, we're going to do it immediately.
Hmm.
Unless we're out of policies, and we have been. So it's taken a little longer to get people in policies.
Yeah. It seems like the ones that the investors that have been making the most are the ones that are in the most policies and always, you know, in something. So everything is always kind of like moving and churning and then reinvesting.
They're consistent.
Yeah.
They invest all the time. We have a certain amount of people that invest all the time. And then last week I told you the story of a lady that her husband was real ill. So she didn't invest for like a year and a half. And she's come back now and said, how much money do I have in my account? I'm ready to go again.
Yeah.
And you know, this happens. You know, things happen. We've lost a lot of clients in the last 2 years. Several of them have died that have been with us a long time, that, you know, invested consistently all this time. And now then, the heirs get it. And when you never know about an heir, most of them, the first thing they think is, how much money can I get and how long can I spend it?
Yeah, yeah.
And
what
you know,
can I get right
and
now?
I'm betting on two of them right now that this money will all be gone in 2 years.
Yeah, and I'm sure that it's probably a situation where they had been investing for years and years to kind of build this up, and then all of a sudden an inheritance is made, and poof, all those years of investing and building up their portfolio is gone in a flash.
It's gone in a flash. You know, when they're young, they're foolish, and they think this money will last forever, but they've never had this kind of money, so they don't know how to handle it. You know, they're going to buy the sports cars, all the fancy things. They're going to go to Vegas. They're going to do all this, and then they're going to come home whimpering when all the money's gone, and I've seen it time after time.
Jeez.
And the people are turning over in their graves, I guarantee, because
yeah,
they thought they had planned it out. They thought they had a good plan, that this money would last a long time, and that they loved them and, you know, wanted to provide for them.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you need to do a payout. You need to say, you know, they can only take this much a year for the next 10 years. I think that's the best plan of all.
Yeah.
Because if you say, here it is, carte blanche, I know you'll do the right thing, they're not going to.
Yeah. Here's a wheelbarrow of cash, and people are not going to, for the most part, they're not going to be responsible and, you know, budget and do all the things that they should do to make it last. I mean, they've worked very hard to set up the foundation so that they're set at least for the next several years, not so that people can just blow it in 18 months.
And then if you're getting ready to retire, you know, and you're in the stock market, I would say, you know, this would be a great investment because it's conservative. It's not fast money. You're not going to get rich overnight. It's not a get-rich scheme like all these people promise you. It's just good, steady, slow money. You know, you'll make money. You can reinvest and reinvest. You'll have money for retirement. And then if you want to do annuities, you know, you cannot outlive a payout on an annuity. You can take a lifetime payout, and it will pay you till you die, no matter if the annuity runs out of money. It will still pay you till you die. You've got the bonuses in annuities. You know, you've got that 14%. They've hung on to that even when the stock market was down and is up. And this is never in the stock market. It mirrors the stock market, but it's not directly in it. And there's no downside. It has a stop gap on it. If the market goes down, this thing just sets there. In the meantime, consistently over the years, it's averaged 10% or more.
That's great.
So it is. And so you get the 14% every time you put money in for 3 years. And then it's got all the indexes. You've got a choice of indexes that are really great. They've paid off well. And so if you're in those, you're conservative. You're not going to lose any money. Why not have an annuity or a life settlement, you know, where you know you're not going to lose anything? I mean, that makes sense. To have something that's not going to go down. This is perilous times right now. You know, we don't know what all's going to happen. So why not be conservative, move your money, you know, get it fixed where you know that you cannot lose it. If you lose your principal, folks, you're going to go back to work forever.
Yeah, that's something you've been saying for years, is always protect your principal.
Protect the principal. Don't do some scheme. I just read this morning about this $97 million Ponzi scheme.
No,
and it was
really?
Out of Dallas, Texas.
Really?
And so these people are never going to see their money. They're never going to get it back.
Wow.
It's gone. It's disappeared over the horizon.
$97 million.
$97 million, the Dallas Morning News reported.
Wow.
And I don't understand why people will fall for that instead of doing something conservative, you know. But they want to get this quick money. They think that the rainbow's just over the hill. I can do this quick. I can make all these millions.
Yeah.
Life doesn't work that way.
It doesn't, but so many people are, and we're so used to in a right now society. I mean, you can order something, you know, on online, and then get it sometimes the same day or at least the next day. And I mean, it's all about right now, and so people are in that mindset sometimes, and they get distracted by shiny things, and oftentimes it comes back to bite them. And so
it will come back to bite you really bad. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
And then how do you explain this to your wife and your children?
Ooh.
How much money that you had invested and you're not going to see it?
Yeah.
And a lot of the people said, we thought our money was right there. We thought it was, you know, in the account. And it wasn't, and it isn't.
That's a difficult
conversation. And they're not going to get paid. Sending these people away is not going to help you.
No.
You know, it's your money that's gone.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what happens to those people.
Uh-uh.
They can't trace the money. They can't find it.
Yeah. Even if they go to jail, you're still out.
You're out the money.
Yeah.
And can you afford it? Can you afford to take a loss like that? And with some stupid scheme.
Yeah.
If it sounds too good to be true, it is.
I'm always leery of anything that is, you know, oh, here's fast results. And, oh, look, we'll get you, you know, rich overnight, or we'll guarantee this amount in this time. I'm always leery about things like that. And so it's just sometimes, you know, people fall for it.
And they don't check it out. People, they believe them. They false filed these documents. That's what they did, I believe, on this.
Oh, no.
They made it up, in other words. And people fell for it.
Wow.
And these are Texans that lost the money.
Yeah, that's the worst part. It's just, you know, people sometimes think that it looks legit without checking it out. And you've been doing this for so long. I mean, not only is the proof in the pudding, but the numbers back it up. Your investors back it up. Plus, in whenever it's possible, you're in policies yourself, and so you not only talk
That's
the talk.
That's right. I am in quite a few right now.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, we've been a member of the Better Business Bureau all these years. We're an accredited business with the Better Business Bureau. They recommend us because we've been in business so long. You know, we have like a high rating with them. And I imagine these Ponzi schemes do not have any Better Business Bureau recommendations. They could have checked them out.
Yeah.
But they just believe the story. And it was a really fabulous story, apparently. And they sent in their checks.
Wow.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, I know. You once you sign that check and send it in, it's you may or may not see it again. So
that's
wow.
right.
That's what makes
And instead of doing business with Texans that have been here forever, you know, that we're local, you know, we have offices in Midland. We've had an office there for 13 years.
Wow.
Did you know that?
That's incredible.
And our office here has been here since 2003. We've been, you know,
wow.
that long.
That's amazing. That goes, I mean, that's a big deal. It goes a long way. And just the fact that, you know, it's been so consistent over the years. I mean, it may not be one of these, you know, flashy things that, oh, look at this shiny object. But you've had so many people make so much money, you know, in a conservative manner. And nothing has ever affected it, whether it's the stock market or, you know, anything else. And it's so highly regulated and it's just so mapped out and it's guarded and the security measures in place. It's just the people who have been the most involved in life settlements are the ones that have made the most. And so it's just.
And our clients recommend us. That's
oh, yeah,
thing.
That's another
Our clients
thing.
Do recommend us. Most of the people that call say, you know, so-and-so has a policy with you, or my parents have a policy with you, my aunt and uncle are with you, whoever. And they come to us because somebody else has been successful with us. So they come to us.
Yeah.
And we appreciate that. And, you know, we try to do the best job we can every day, not just once in a while. We try to make sure their money's safe. We try to make sure their return is good. And we do this day after day after day.
Yeah. And for years and years and years. So
yes.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every day around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Well, we're really going to talk about Mother's Day. You've already mentioned it. but it's, you know, the biggest day of the year is Mother's Day. And, you know, do you remember how long we've been celebrating Mother's Day?
I want to say
1907.
Oh, not even close.
1907.
Wow. I was going to guess the 40s, but 1907? Wow, that's incredible.
And Anna Jarvis is the one that started Mother's Day. And she gave a campaign to make Mother's Day a recognized holiday. And she began it in 1905.
Wow.
You know, trying to. And her mother had died, and her mother had been a peace activist who cared for wounded soldiers in the American Civil War. So she wanted to recognize her mother. And so she was urging for the creation of Mother's Day for peace, where mothers would ask that their husbands and sons were no longer killed in wars. And anyway, she was on it. And in 1908, the U.S. Congress rejected a proposal to make Mother's Day official.
Really?
Can you imagine?
They rejected it?
Yeah. They rejected it. By 1911, all U.S. states observed the holiday.
Wow.
And, yeah, the first being West Virginia. It was the first place it was ever recognized. And then as she got this going, it was recognized, the phrase, Hallmark Holiday. So by the 1920s, Hallmark cards started selling Mother's Day cards. Can
well,
you believe that?
If Hallmark's on it, you pretty much have no choice.
I mean, once Hallmark got involved, you can imagine.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that. It was on sentiment, not profit. and she organized boycotts of Mother's Day, and she thought it had gotten too commercial, so then she was kind of against it, which is crazy. Hmm. And she also trademarked the phrase Second Sunday in May.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. And
can you imagine getting it a trademark?
that's dedication.
And then carnations became associated with Mother's Day.
Ooh.
And it was sold. They were sold by the American War Mothers to raise money, and that angered old Jarvis.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, she had all these funny ideas after she got it started. And then other countries, you know, started honoring mothers. They described it as Mother's Day, such as Mothering Sunday in the United Kingdom. And Greece, the Eastern Orthodox, started celebrating. And it went on from there and became, you know, a real Mother's Day around the world. And I was reading this week when I was looking all this up, every country celebrates Mother's Day. Maybe different than ours. They do it a little different, but every country celebrates Mother's Day. There's not any bigger holiday toward a mother than Mother's Day.
You know, sometimes I forget about what other countries celebrate. I know everybody celebrates like Easter, Christmas, New Year's, things like that. But then there's other holidays that we have that other countries don't, you know, like Memorial Day, Thanksgiving, things like that. I guess I didn't think about whether Mother's Day was a worldwide holiday. I hadn't thought about it on a large scale like that.
It talked about Greece, France. It talked about India. Every country celebrates Mother's Day. It's a little different in every country, but everybody does celebrate Mother's Day. It's the biggest thing going because everybody, thinks about we wouldn't be here without a mother.
Yeah.
You know, and the sacrifices that mothers make is so important. And everybody got together and they said, you know, we should be celebrating, Mother's Day.
Yeah. I mean, it's important.
That's how it got started because of the Jarvis. But then she thought it became too commercial. I think when Hallmark got involved in the 1920s.
Yeah. Wasn't her goal to, didn't you say it was like not to be commercial? It was to be.
Yes, she was upset because she thought they had commercialized Mother's Day. And so she was really upset about that. And she was regretting some of this and trying to backtrack on some of it, you know?
I can't even imagine. I mean, I don't know what the numbers are, but I'm sure, you know, card sales, flower sales are like through the...
Flower sales is the biggest.
Oh, yeah.
And card sales are next. And everybody does something different. And I've talked to a lot of mothers. What is it you would really like? She said to see their smiling faces.
Yeah.
To see them actually show up, you know, and to being together. That's what mothers really want, is to see their children, be with them, and have pictures taken.
Yeah.
And they never talk about that. But pictures are more important to a mother than anything. Because after you're gone and you go away and she doesn't see you, she's got those pictures of you on Mother's Day. With her family.
Yeah. She can
and that's
look back.
Really important to mothers, is over the years, every year, to have pictures taken with their children. That's really important. The food is important, but not as important as, you know, the flowers, the cards, and all this.
Yeah.
And flowers, they sell out every year. And, you know, everybody thinks all of our roses come from here, and they don't. We run out here. They import a lot of them from South America.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. A lot of the roses are flown here from South America because we use so many flowers, we run out every year.
Wow.
A lot of them are imported.
That's a lot of flowers.
It is a lot of flowers. And everybody wants roses. You know, they're not giving them something else. Roses is the preferred flower.
Yeah, yeah.
So everybody wants that. And the cards. Hallmark's been doing this, as we know, since 1920 on Mother's Day. And, you know, they've got silly cards. They've got sentimental cards. They've got welcome cards. I did a little research on that. And there's so many different kinds of cards. There's the funny cards, just jokes. And then there's the serious cards, you know, where you tell them you appreciate them, you love them, and that they mean the world to you. And Hallmark's the one that did all that.
Yeah.
They came up with all this, the poetry, the sentiment. So it's a Hallmark day.
Yeah. One year, speaking of the funny cards, one year I thought it would be funny. So I got her a funny card, and I was a kid, but it said something like, "Happy Mother's Day, you old goat."
Oh, my gosh.
I would not recommend that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Oh, Lord.
It's not funny.
I don't believe I'd have given her that card. I believe I'd have done something else.
Yeah, it didn't go over well. I didn't do that again.
That would not have went over well. And, you know, one of them that I was reading this week, it's pretty funny. They were talking about that what they remembered their mother the most for was the leftovers for 27 years. She served leftovers every year. That's kind of bad, too. You know, serving the leftovers, that's what they remembered her most for. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Wow.
So a lot of people have different memories of their mothers. A lot of them, they were at their baseball practices. They were at their basketball practices. They got up early to be sure they got to school on time. You know, they remember a lot of different things about their mothers. They remember when, they were hurt, who was kissing the knee or the arm. It was always your mother.
Yeah.
You know, that was comforting you. So everybody remembers their mother as a comforter, a helper. You know, they helped you through school. Your first date, your mother helped you. As you were growing up, she's the one that taught you everything. The dads are usually too busy. They're making the money, bringing home the bread. They're doing all this other. But, the mother is usually the one that gets up at 6 a.m., gets started for the day, get your lunch ready for school. I remember all the things, that you have to do early in the morning.
Yeah.
And then the child says, my basketball jersey, it's dirty. Can you get it for me this morning? So at the last minute, you're in there washing it, trying to get it dry, get it ready for school right quick. And when they get to school and they forgot their lunch, they call you from the principal's office. Can you bring it to school? It's the mother that does all this, helps you catch up on things.
Yeah.
You know?
And the best, and by best, I mean the worst, is when you go to your mother and say, oh, by the way, I have a science project due tomorrow. And you don't even have the supplies.
That's exactly right. And you're up half the night trying to get it done.
Yeah.
And the science projects now are so hard. It's hard to believe that starting in third grade, they have science projects that I think should be in high school.
Really?
We just went through one of those that you were talking about, and it went on day after day.
Oh.
And she says it has to be on a board, and she would prefer it to be typed out.
Oh.
You've got to give an explanation on everything. She wanted pictures. I mean, this is third grade. So mothers are responsible for getting this done. They know darn well the little kids can't do it by themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
My goodness.
There's no way. It's too complicated. So mothers are responsible for a lot of things.
Yeah, they really hold the fort down, and they
connect
all
the family together.
Yeah.
Without a good mother, you don't have a prayer.
No.
Yeah. You know? And then we have people that don't have a mother. They either had a stepmother or somebody else's mother took care of them. So, those are appreciated, too.
Yeah.
And like my grandchildren, I've been raising them all these years. So I know all about that. This is the second go-around,
Yeah, because one dose wasn't enough for you.
One dose wasn't enough. And I was asked to take them years ago, and they were like 2 years old. 4 and 5.
And you were probably
happy
to do it.
The little one was not even potty trained.
Oh.
Can you imagine?
Oh, my goodness. You really started over.
I started over. And so I know about all this. I did it the first time. The second time I go, oh, my gosh, I've got to do all this. You know, early in the morning, you've got to do all this.
Yeah. Oh, it does. And, it makes a long day.
It makes a long day. And nowadays, they're all in sports. I know in the first round of my children, you didn't have this many sports.
Yeah.
You know, they went to school. There was a few things, but not anything like today. It's every day you have either basketball, you've got track, you've got, what else is there? Soccer, yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's tons.
They have to participate in all this if they're any good at all.
Yeah, and mom has to put it all together and make sure that people are where they need to be, when they need to be there. And, I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. It's you know,
and
it's...
then you've got to make sure the homework's really done. Is it a joke, or did they really do it?
Yeah. You have to become a lie detector. It's like
that's right. And there's so much... that all these mothers are doing that nobody knows about, doesn't appreciate, doesn't know all the things they really do.
Yeah.
You know?
It is. It is.
When
intense.
The button's off the shirt, it's up. You've got to get that button back on the shirt. You've got to make sure they have clean clothes. You know, and then they call you in for teacher's conference.
Oh, boy.
You know? I mean, there's just a lot of things that a mother has to do.
Yeah.
And they're up to the challenge.
Yeah.
Our mothers are better than any mothers in the world.
And that's true. That's true. So happy second Mother's Day to you.
There you go.
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
All right, real quick before we wrap, with a life settlement, there are two risks that people need to be aware of. What's the first?
They need to know that if it goes over the allotted time, there will be premiums to pay. So they need to know about premiums. The other thing is it is not liquid until it matures. They need to know that.
Okay.
You can't, in the middle of the policy, say, I need the cash. You can't do it. Because it's invested in a life insurance policy. That's why it is safe investment. It's invested with a life insurance company. I can't stress that enough.
And people do need to be accredited in order to do a life settlement.
You must be accredited to do this. This is a government regulation. So in order to be accredited, you must either make $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million without your house.
All righty. It's pretty straightforward. It's very conservative. But for people to have more information or if they just want to get started, this week is business as usual, unless you celebrate too much tomorrow.
There you go. Unless I eat too much.
So people do need to make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what's your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. I hope people look it up and read up.